Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com.
Tonight, each and every show, we batted around with our pals from Talk Radio News. The other day, we were talking about this horrific Amtrak crash. Everybody wanted a piece of this. In other words, they wanted to say their two cents about riding on the train or what they think happened and all of that. But somebody who's ridden that train many, many times, probably too much to count, is Ellen Ratner. And Ellen, you know, because you've taken that so many times, that there's probably much more to this story than most of us know as we just look at the plain facts that we're being fed.
Well, first of all, yes, one of the things that the National Transportation Safety Board really must look into is, was there a time urgent issue? Is that why he was going fast? Was there a culture of getting into trouble if the train isn't on time? Number two, and I actually have an email I wrote to Amtrak's press office about 10 months ago saying, please tell me the policy about members of the staff of the train congregating in the food car and sitting at tables and gossiping and talking rather than going out among the train. And had they done this, would they have been able to get passengers out quicker? Because that they sit in the food car and they talk. And I actually asked them, I said, well, why are you just sitting here taking up space? Well, we've been working 12 hours. Well, okay, our staff overworked. That's the other issue. How much have people been on this train? Third issue is now people have been talking about seatbelts, but they haven't been talking about where to keep luggage. Right now, luggage is on racks. Well, you know, if you stop fast, and that has happened before, the luggage goes flying. It's essentially a missile, and it can go on people's heads or on their bodies and hurt them or even kill them. So these are all very, very big issues.
Boy, no kidding. And you can imagine, you saw that people had some took photographs and video of what was inside the train. So what you're describing is absolutely right. We saw that. You could see there's a lot of sharp objects that would become projectiles, right?
Exactly. And, you know, in a plane, you have to store your luggage in a bin. You don't have to do that on the train. Well, what if a train's going 100 miles an hour, it would be like driving a car and having a piece of luggage come at you at 100 miles an hour.
Wow. Yeah, and you know, they've had other crashes before, and I always think when these crashes happen, it's an eye-opener, but yet what you just said has not changed in that whole time, and we've seen a few of those similar things happen, and this is a pretty bad one. You would think that there's going to be pressure on Amtrak.
There should be some pressure on Amtrak, and I think, again, they have to look at the culture of the staff. Do they allow them to just talk? How many hours are they working? There's a lot to be said.
Oh, yeah, definitely. All right, let's switch gears from what happened with that train accident to Camp David. This is a big deal, this Camp David deal, isn't it?
This is a big deal, and the press is making a very big deal about who's there and who's not, and the King of Saudi Arabia is very old, by the way, is not there. So, they're not there. But what about the content of what's going on? What about what's happening in Yemen? What about what's happening in Iran? There needs to be a lot of focus on that rather than who's the guest list.
Yeah. All right, Ellen Ratner, thanks so much for coming on America Tonight. We'll talk to you again soon.
You got it.
Talking to Ellen about that Amtrak process, and I mentioned this as soon as it happened, how I had been on that train many, many, many times, but she really, really has commuted up and down there from Washington. A lot of political people, Congress folks, senators along that way use the Amtrak because it's so easy and it's just right down the street from Congress. So, you know, you would think there'd be more pressure. She's right about that, that there would be more pressure on Amtrak to have things like, after some of the accidents, overhead bins instead of having all of that collapse on everybody. And that's what happens. You have suitcases and it's crazy. It's a mad dash to grab something off the top anyway and to get out of the door before it closes on you. So now you turn everything that's on top on those just little tiny luggage racks. And, of course, in the case of what happened in that accident, they are definitely projectiles. And that's part of the reason a lot of the people ended up as banged up as they did, too. I mentioned the whole safety thing with the seatbelts and everything else. But certainly it made it worse because of the luggage, which is why they're obsessive when you get on a plane about the overhead bins and being able to close the overhead bins because of what happens if something in a plane were to turn over or the luggage and the things on top fall out, which is why they lock it, close it, so that doesn't happen. Now, the big question is, so we get the projectiles and the what's going on inside, and Ellen talked about how the people were behaving and all that. But why did it speed up? What was it? It accelerated. The train accelerated moments before the crash. So that engineer who isn't talking, has a lawyer, all of that, has agreed to do an interview. So he's going to do it, which, of course, he would have to do with the NTSB. And so now that's going to happen. But really, with this derailment, that's what we want to know. What was it that caused that? Then there is driver fatigue that's been brought up. And also along that same route. Now, can you imagine? Picture this, folks, right? Someone in your family's been hurt, but they survived it, so at least they survived it. Or how about you're somebody in that Navy midshipman's family, and you're irate, start to hear all these stories like there is a system that will slow down the train, but it's not used in that particular area of the Amtrak. In other words, that outside of Philadelphia, but all surrounding it, they have a specialty brake system in place that could have slowed that train down. So can you imagine how you feel now? If they had put that in place, would it have made a difference? So, of course it would have made a difference. We wouldn't be sitting here talking about the projectiles and what happened to all these people and, you know, just how crazy, awful it was and chaotic. Train. Coming up on tonight, gluten. I keep hearing this from everyone. Even my brother, who over the years, like all of us, looks really good and gets in shape and runs all over Cherry Hill, all over Tampa, and then he gets his beer belly and then he loses it again. But now he has this thing about gluten, like, ugh, it has to be gluten-free, and he swears that he feels that much better and looks that much better and all of that kind of stuff. And I've heard that from more and more people. So what is the deal with gluten? What is gluten doing to us, and what kind of foods have gluten in it, and how do you get around it? The tests are pretty expensive, so how do you know you have this issue with gluten if you have to go and get the blood tests, be ready to open up your wallet, especially if you have the Affordable Care version, right? So it is about what's in your food. And this is what we keep hearing more and more, processed food. Ann Sarkisian is going to join us in our next segment to talk about that and give you some suggestions on what to do. And it's a lot of it is involved with reading the labels. I guess we have no way around that. We got to read the labels. And besides Ann, we're going to talk about a new terror attack in Texas and what happened with an arrest with somebody else who's accused of being a terrorist. Lots to get to, so hang through here on ATN.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercials.
commercial,
just like the one you're listening to right now.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com, and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Hi, John Huebner from Midas Resources. Are you tired of watching your hard-earned assets dwindle away? As government spending is out of hand and the Federal Reserve is creating in excess of $20 billion a week, are you tired of stockbrokers gambling away your hard-earned money? Is this market a setup for a crash greater than 1987? Too many of today's policies resemble those that led to the collapse of 1929.
This is John Huebner, and that was me in 2007. And we all know what happened when the subprime credit bubble burst. By March 2009, the dollar lost 50% of its value. The entire U.S. banking system was on the verge of collapsing. Like all financial problems of the past, is history about to repeat itself? Call me, John Huebner, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 129, before it's too late to protect yourself. Will the oncoming catastrophe take all private IRAs, 401ks with it? There is a way to protect your hard-earned assets. Call me, John Huebner, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 129.
If you constantly feel run down and tired, your pH level might be low and your body could be full of toxins. If what you drink is not at a pH level of 8 or higher, you are inviting bacteria and acid to thrive in your body. But there is something you can do. Simply add 10 drops of AlkaVision plasma pH drops to your water to help your body rid itself of acidic waste, increase oxygen, and raise your pH balance to optimum levels. AlkaVision plasma pH drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals in the world, alkalizing the water you drink, ridding your body of acidic waste and toxins, and helping you regain energy and vibrant health. And studies show viruses, bacteria, and toxins cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision plasma pH drops at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com today.
Guest here on America Tonight. A lot of people talking about gluten and living gluten-free or taking those baby steps. Ann Sarkisian joins us, and she knows all about that because she lives a life that is gluten-free. And I think people are confused on a couple of fronts with gluten. One, just even knowing what it is. She's the author of Toxic Staple, How Gluten May Be Wrecking Your Health and What You Can Do About It. Ann, thanks for joining us.
You are very welcome, Kate. Thank you for having me.
Let's start with the basic thing. And so I have to be honest, until my brother started talking about it, I didn't really know too much about gluten, and I'm still kind of learning about it. Explain why people are getting sick because of gluten, and now we're finding these gluten connections to certain illnesses.
Well, gluten is a pretty nasty little protein, and if you have certain genetics, you're more predisposed to becoming sick. But if you develop celiac disease, it's because your villi are damaged. If you were to extend your hand and put your fingers out, spread them apart, and look at those as if they were tiny villi that are in your intestine that absorb nutrients to keep you healthy, if you make a fist, now, or do it slowly, it can take months to years to decades to decimate your villi. So if you're not absorbing your nutrients, there are over 300 symptoms, diseases, and maladies linked to gluten and celiac disease. So it doesn't leave a whole lot for your imagination. It seems like everything is linked. And it almost seems like just about everything gets better, when you remove it.
So, first of all, how do you, before we get to remove it, how do you know you have a problem with gluten? So we just assume that all of us could cut that down?
Well, you can have full-blown celiac disease and really have no symptoms or very insignificant things going on. And you find out by certain tests. And unfortunately, not enough testing is, according to me, is being given.
Right.
And there's huge, huge unawareness, especially in mainstream medicine, on all the symptoms and maladies linked to it. And then if you even request testing from your doctor, chances are pretty good you won't get enough to detect an intolerance. They might detect celiac disease, but I think they're setting the bar very high on the one test they might give.
Mm-hmm.
And there really are more tests that you could give, blood tests, and then there's some stool testing. And it's very cutting-edge testing, and that testing saved my family because we were all negative on the blood tests. And then we discovered this fellow. And everybody's life has turned around. It's just, it's huge information. I'm a driven granny. What can I tell you?
Oh, so, okay, so what can we do to start out and get rid of some gluten? How do we get rid of gluten? Are there just products we need to look for that are gluten-free? I know they're out there, but what about just in regular, I'll call it regular food?
Regular food is pretty much glutinous. I mean, if you want to get rid of the gluten, you start with the big stuff, you know,
like the
regular pasta, the regular breads, and you adopt some new breads and pasta. And then, you know, once you get a handle on that, you start looking into the, you know, the tougher stuff. Like, you have to become a label reader. And, you know, it's a little bit of a challenge at first, but then it becomes second nature, and your health starts to improve. I mean, a lot of people can see improvements in 2 or 3 weeks, better energy. I mean, I don't get sick anymore. It's incredible.
What contains the most gluten? I mean, is it bread? Is it, you know, you're saying pasta, regular pasta?
Bread has a lot, and pasta, yes. But, you know, even things like a can of jalapeno peppers was on the shelf, and a chef pulled it off, and we were chatting. He said, well, there can't be any gluten in this. And we read the label, and there was. It's hidden in a lot of foods. So I really don't buy too many canned things, maybe tomatoes. I stay away from the processed food as much as possible. You know, so, it's a huge, huge issue, and it really, nobody's educating our doctors on it.
All right, so stay away from processed food and read the labels. Look for gluten. It'll say it on there.
Well, it will say contains wheat if it contains wheat. But you do have to look out for rye and barley. Those you need to become aware of when you're reading your all the ingredients, because they also have gluten in them.
Yeah. And, you know, you talk about the maladies, too. We're talking cancers, stomach, intestinal, colon, all kinds of things are linked to, you know, there might be a gluten connection to that. And you believe that, right?
Absolutely do. And there is huge research on this. Unfortunately, there's so many ailments. A lot of the ailments need more research. Like multiple myeloma is one of them. I really tried looking for the research. I found about 3 studies. And one of them says that multiple myeloma may be a more severe condition, gluten intolerance condition, than celiac disease. And this was right in the study. So this is huge information, and I'm very disturbed that more isn't being done to educate our doctors on this. The public really needs to become their own advocate, and that's why I wrote the book. I just, I felt people needed something they could relate to. Oh, this sounds like my mother. Oh, this is Uncle Joe. Oh, my God, my kid has this, you know, going on.
Yeah.
And so I have a lot of stories, and I have huge research, easy to read. I made it as easy as I could, and hopefully it'll help a lot of people.
Yeah, you know, you talk about multiple melanoma, and that seems to be cropping up more. I just met someone the other day who was pretty young that had multiple melanoma. And Tom Brokaw, of course, the nightly news anchor from the past, the godfather, one of the godfathers of news, I call him, he had or has multiple melanoma and has been talking about what that's like. And that is a very scary disease to come up with. And it's along those same lines, you think there's a connection there.
Absolutely, I do. And I actually tried reaching out to Mr. Brokaw a couple years ago when it first came out. Maybe it was only a year. And, of course, I never heard back, but I think I sent him some information. And just yesterday, I posted a release with some interesting information in it on multiple myeloma.
Wow. So you mentioned that your family, is gluten-free, totally gluten-free household. How tough was it to get everybody else on board?
Well, you know, the kids were easy because they were young.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit harder now that the boys and even that one of the girls, they're teenagers, and they think it's okay to eat French fries that are fried with everything else that's breaded.
Right.
And it isn't, you know, it's not okay. And if you have this condition, you need to stay away from gluten 100%. Never have it,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so it's tough with kids, but it took my husband a year to come on, but after seeing the results and feeling better and losing weight and some of his labs were better, you know, he's pretty much on board. I mean, I'm 100%.
Yeah,
he's probably 99.5 or something like that.
Yeah, and we know there's something to this because, Ann, you were ahead of the curve, but other people are catching up from the sense that even some foods are just, I see a lot more foods that say gluten-free. I mean, giant letters, you know, this is gluten-free.
Right.
Even I saw something the other day, it was like pretzels, gluten-free pretzels. And I thought, that's great. So that means you go to the movies, just grab this bag or whatever, and you don't have to say, oh, I can't eat anything, and that's always the excuse. What do we use as, you know, what do we use instead of?
Right. They're really coming around with that, which doesn't mean that it's healthy just because it's gluten-free.
But
there are some options there for the public. And, you know, the food industry really jumped on this thing fast because they had money to be made.
Yeah, that's true.
Food. But the medical industry, you know, I mean, after my grandson and I, if you just look at the two of us, at the end of the first year of doing this diet, we were no longer sick. I go for health checkups at my ripe old age.
Wow.
And I'm really lucky, and I just don't get the stuff everybody else gets, and I have great energy.
Right. So there's, you know? So we know there is something to that, and like I said, other people are starting to discover that. It's making that gluten connection and realizing, you know, what's happening, because there's a million excuses as to why we can't do this and why we can't do that. All right, so the book is Toxic Staple, How Gluten May Be Wrecking Your Health and What You Can Do About It. They can get the book on Amazon, right?
Amazon. They can go to my website, Toxic Staple, Barnes & Noble. They can order it at most any bookstore. Yep.
All right, so I'm going to start looking even more. I've been doing it too, but for all of you listening, this is great information. Start looking at the whole gluten thing, and as Ann said, read the labels. It's not that hard. Just start to read the labels and get used to doing that. Ann, thanks so much for coming on.
You're very, very welcome. Thanks, and best of health to everybody.
Thanks.
If the IRS has garnished your paycheck or seized money from your bank account, you need to get professional tax help now. Fast action is required to put a halt to these aggressive IRS collection tactics. You can count on the knowledgeable team of tax professionals at Wall & Associates. With over 30 years of experience, Wall & Associates has settled the tax problems of thousands of taxpayers for a small fraction of what they owed. For a free face-to-face consultation, call 1-800-425-4610 to put a wall between you and the IRS. 1-800-425-4610 or look for us on the web at wallandassociates.net. We solve tax problems. If you hire Wall & Associates today, you'll never have to talk to the IRS again. To stop the levies and seizures today, take action now. Call Wall & Associates at 1-800-425-4610. Wall & Associates. 1-800-425-4610. Based on actual cases, results may vary. Not a solicitation for legal services.
Not just an alternative to the mainstream media. We're the premier independent talk radio network. We are GCN.
You've heard them on Alex Jones. You've seen them on Ancient Aliens. Now come see them live at Contact in the Desert 2015 in Joshua Tree this May. Experience 4 full days of science-centered lectures, workshops, intensives, and fieldwork on ancient astronauts, extraterrestrial intelligence, human origins, crop circles, contact experiences, UFO sightings, and more. Meet Chariots of the Gods author Eric von Daniken, Ancient Aliens host Giorgio A. Tsokalos, New York Times best-selling author David Wilcock, Dead Doctors Don't Lie author Dr. Joel Wallach, astronauts Edgar Mitchell and Story Musgrave, Earth Files publisher Linda Moulton Howe, author Jim Mars, and many of the world's most respected researchers and scientists exploring answers to one of the greatest questions of all time. More speakers, more panels, more things to do. Join us at the Joshua Tree Retreat Center, which has a long history of sightings and contact experiences. For advanced tickets and conference schedule, go to contactinthedesert.com. That is contactinthedesert.com.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
Hey neighbor, what are you doing digging? You had a heart attack last year.
Oh, I know. I was told no more hard labor.
Then why are you digging?
Well, I've been taking ExtendoVite. It's been approved to help my heart.
ExtendoVite? Is that a new drug?
No, not a drug. It's more like an herbal combination made from garlic and cayenne.
Herbal? How can that help?
Well, actually, we've taken herbs for thousands of years. ExtendoVite is doing the job for me.
Does your doctor know about ExtendoVite?
Yeah, my doctor knows, and he said it seems to be working for you, so don't stop taking it. I feel great taking ExtendoVite. I don't want to stop.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
Did you know that drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health? Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops, available only at AlkaVision.com, combine a unique formula of only the most alkaline minerals. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize your water, ridding the body of harmful toxins, and helps you regain health and energy. Alkalizing your water by simply adding 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps the body rid itself of acidic waste, increases oxygen content, and raises the pH of your body to healthy levels. And bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com today.
It means we dump it all in there, and you can decide if it is worthy or not. But it is what people are talking about around these United States. So I thought I would throw it into the mix. That's why I call it the dump. So in the dump this time around, George Stephanopoulos, who was the wonder boy for the Clintons, people forget that because, boy, that seems like a million years ago, doesn't it? It's back when he was single guy and he was dating various actresses like Bebe Neuwirth, who now has a show where she gets a lot of airtime on it as an actress. It's called, it's the Secretary of State. Tia Leone's on it. I want to say something like Madam Secretary. That's it. Madam Secretary. So anyway, so George Stephanopoulos, though, has been married, has two daughters, and now is Mr. Anchor Guy, doing the morning anchor thing, doing the Sunday thing. I mean, he's kind of bopped around. He is Mr. ABC. Well, it turns out that he had to disclose this, of course. He disclosed that he contributed to the Clinton Foundation. So it was $75,000. It's interesting because initially they were saying, oh, $50,000. But wait a second, now it's $75,000. And Steffi Olgift made the New York Times. In fact, there was a giant article about it. I mean, it's, you know, Stephanopoulos interviewing the former president, Bill Clinton, for Good Morning America. So, of course, to the Republicans, and if I'm a Republican strategist, this is raw meat, baby. You are giving it to me. And that's why the Republican strategists say they blocked him for things like this, for moderating a debate last year in the Senate race in Iowa. It was kind of the elephant in the room with an interview with Mitt Romney's advisors. That's what the New York Times is saying, because they saw Stephanopoulos as particularly argumentative when he visited campaign headquarters to try to tell them he was impartial. George, baby, you're not impartial if you're dumping 75 grand into the Clinton coffers. How can you be?
And the granddad!
Exactly. Can we hear that again?
My bad!
Yeah, my bad. He's not. How are you impartial? They gave him his big break. He worked in the White House, and then he became the media star after that. Yeah, I mean, why can't people just own up to what it is? And this goes to our people in television news, not talk show hosts, because that's opinion-based. But are they impartial? And if they aren't impartial, let's just call it what it is. So what? If this is the way we roll now, right? Because he has political leanings. He cannot say he's impartial. Why would he write a check for 75 grand to Bill, Hillary, and the Chelsea Clinton Foundation for the past 5 years? Yeah. So it's not, you know, that's not chump change. And he withdrew from having any role in a planned Republican primary debate on ABC and called his donations an uncharacteristic lapse. Uncharacteristic lapse. And here's what he said. He said, I'm sorry because I don't want anything to compromise my integrity or the standards of ABC News. I don't want to do anything that would raise questions in the minds of our viewers. I'm sorry all this has happened. But his disclosure of contributions, you know, has a lot of people asking ABC questions. And it just deepens that whole distrust in political journalism, let's face it, and network news. Many of you call and slam the media, and this is really what you're talking about mostly, right? And that's a pretty, yeah, that's a pretty fair grievance. It's a pretty fair grievance. If he's in with the Clintons, he's in with the Clintons, and he's donating money, and that's how it is. But at the networks, as we know from the whole Brian Williams lapse, which is way different than the Stephanopoulos thing, there are certain standards, and they do say we are impartial. We are just reporting the news, but that's just not true anymore. I mean, it's just not true. And remember, Stephanopoulos is that political animal. He's that guy for this week. He's the face of the news division, and he does Good Morning America. So, I mean, there you go. You have David Muir, who does the nightly news, but he has a huge role when it comes to politics. So ABC didn't want anything to do with controversy, and they just said, look, we accept his apology. It was an honest mistake. That's it. And we're moving on from there. And there we go. So I would say that Stephanopoulos interviewing some of the people who are running, he probably gets some of the interviews, but maybe not quite as many. Luckily, David Muir, to our knowledge, has not donated to anyone's campaign, so he should be okay. How about that? All right, another thing to report in the dump. Mark Zuckerberg had a birthday. Well, when you have a gazillion dollars, how do you celebrate your birthday? I was reading something from Silicon Valley, because, you know, that's where all those dudes hang out, and his shares of the company jumped up, or the shares of the company certainly have jumped up a couple of bucks, almost $3. Now Facebook is at $81.37. So you know what that is for Zuckerberg? $1.2 billion gain for him. He owns 426.3 million shares. Do you know what birthday it is for this CEO? 30th. It's only his 30th birthday. That's it. And as the CEO, I mean, what can they really pay him? He has all of that money. He got $610,000 and some change. Because that doesn't matter. He just has so many of the shares. You know, that's it. Right? His net worth, Forbes thinks anyway, is $35 billion. $35 billion. I don't know. How do you keep... is there ever enough? I don't know. Is there ever enough dough when you're 30 and you have that much? I'm going to say no. Because what? I mean, there must be something to it. All right. We go from money that was spent on a foundation, money that was made in starting an organization that spawned a cultural trend, to money that was dumped and lost by advertisers, because MSNBC, anybody advertising there, they've got their lowest ratings in 10 years. Lowest ratings in 10 years. And, of course, now we know with digital, the advent of everything that's going on digitally, there's tons of competition. But you can't blame it on that. I mean, MSNBC hit really brutal lows. So the Ed Show had 31,000 viewers, they say, on Wednesday in that 25 to 54 demo. And NBC had its lowest total day ratings in close to 10 years. The whole day, they're saying, 49,000 viewers. Like, you think of the top reality shows, and they draw way more than that. The last time, to give you an example, the last time that cable network saw those kind of ratings, you have to go back to mid-July of 2005. So it came in third place. Third place, just 76,000 in the demo compared to 337,000 for Fox News and 196 for CNN. Ooh. So what do you do when you're running that network? And I was looking at the comparisons, you know, the Nielsen ratings, and looking at, like, Fox and Friends, for example, 203, Morning Joe, 67. I'll give you another one. O'Reilly, 232, Chris Hayes, 79. I mean, they're just getting slaughtered. So then, usually when that happens, they're sitting there analyzing, ugh, what do we do? Where are we going? What was that whole thing about leaning in? The leaning in didn't seem to work very well for MSNBC. I mean, those are really low numbers. And with those demos, and they're out there everywhere, it's tough with advertising. Because how are they going to get advertising if they don't have any eyeballs watching the, you know, MSNBC? Unless a ton of people are streaming it and they can prove it. And they're not particularly technically savvy. I mean, they're okay, but they're not doing unbelievably well in the cutting edge department that they're going to just draw huge numbers in a different direction. Let's put it that way. And then finally, our last story for the dump really is a dirty one. The New York City subway system, they say, has been overrun by rats. It is just absolutely filthy. Well, that sounds scary to me because a lot of people travel by the subway and they, you know, all over Manhattan, coming in and out of there, all that kind of stuff. But they did an audit. The city comptroller did, and it revealed that the tracks had just amazing amounts of garbage and rats and dirt. They found that only 3% of the tracks in 276 underground stations were cleaned. 3%? Ugh, who wants to wait in a stinky subway station while the rats crawl around? Blech!
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document? Worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average over 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE. 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com. And be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
Crossing the stage, I know you can feel the excitement. Shake it up.
Like moth to the flame. Here we are, getting through this final segment as we make the last couple of turns on this hour of America Tonight, for this hour anyway. The FBI arrested an Iraqi-born American citizen in Texas. Yes, once again, not far from our satellite studio, alleging that he traveled to Syria to fight with ISIS terrorists and then came back to the United States. His name is Bilal Aboud. And now they're cracking down, of course, on these cases because of the foiled attack in Garland. The two nuts that came from Arizona to go to the Prophet Muhammad drawing contest in that community center, and they were shot and killed. The prosecutors charged Aboud with lying to the FBI, but Aboud is one of hundreds of people the FBI is monitoring somehow in some way. They suspect he could have been motivated to carry out attacks, but the evidence is kind of murky. They're, you know, trying to put all that together, although he did tweet something out, and the tweet is putting him in hot water, you know, where he's pledging allegiance to ISIS pretty much. So This is a guy, too, who worked as an interpreter for the Army in Iraq and helped the U.S. in 2009. But they're saying that he tried to travel in 2013 and they stopped him when he was claiming he was going to visit family. Then he told the FBI that he was actually planning to travel to Syria, not Iraq, to fight with the Free Syrian Army, which, of course, was fighting against, remember, the Assad regime. And they had our support, or some of our support anyway. Then he later left the U.S. for Turkey through Mexico. That's what the FBI is saying. He then returned. There's a whole thing about this. He then returned months later, claimed to the FBI he was fighting with the FSA. So they took his computers, and, you know, this was last July, and found that he had pledged an oath. He pledged an oath of, you know, to the ISIS leader, Bakr al-Baghdadi, if you remember, Abu al-Baghdadi. So according to the FBI, he also posted a Twitter message where, you know, where once again he was saying that he had an allegiance to ISIS. And, you know, if he's being tracked and certain suspicious things are happening, and then you've got a tweet like that, good luck trying to convince that you have nothing to do with this. You pledge an oath to the leader of ISIS, and you got a bunch of other propaganda out there. He was watching the videos of the ISIS nefarious things, those atrocities, including the beheadings. So they saw that he spent time doing that. And one of the guys in the Garland attack, Elton Simpson, who came out with a gun and was trying to nail people in that Prophet Muhammad thing, he was in the same position where he's under FBI investigation because he posted extreme messages on Twitter and was making contact with an ISIS recruiter in Syria. And in light of what happened in Garland, you know, suspicion is going to run deep when you have these many things going on. And they say the Abood case was already in an advanced state of investigation. And counterterrorism peeps say it just represents an example of moving more quickly to take the threats off the street instead of waiting longer to monitor and build a huge investigation against these suspects. So some people are crying foul, and they're saying it's not right. He had a girlfriend, an American girlfriend, who's saying that he helped, which he did, according to the records, helped translate in Iraq, and that he was great with her kids and whatever. But the problem is, so were the other people that got caught in the act of wanting to blow us up in Dallas, the big building, Times Square, if you remember that, the Christmas Day bomber who wanted to, the underwear bomber who wanted to blow up the plane, assimilate, and that means that you act like anyone else, not to accuse others who have nothing to do with that. But this is pretty much, to me, it just looks like they have so many dots on him. I mean, and he had a Twitter message that said, I pledge obedience, you know, to the caliphate, Abu al-Baghdadi, and I renew, you know, we renew the pledge. So what does that mean? Well, he's watching the videos, he's pledging his allegiance. I don't know, seems like pretty obvious to me. It's pretty smart to pick him up, to question. You've got something there, but you'd have to have hard evidence. And this goes back to that Twitter thing. What can we and can we not accuse people of and take them, you know, take their messages serious or not? You know, we're in the age of, you're not joking about that. Now, he wasn't joking about that either. It was pretty plain as day what he had said. And then the way he was trying to come back in, Turkey through Mexico. We'll see where all of this goes. But they say he was planning jihad. You know, and it's that whole thing about sleeper cells, right? Again, saying that there's sleeper cells here and they're ready to open up. They're ready to do what they have to do. So that pretty much tells you if they're lying in wait, come over, lie in wait. Then if they have to wait for 10, 15 years, I suppose for some, that's what they're willing to do, right? They're willing to do that. Okay, in the meantime, I mentioned at the top, of course, we talked about the speed and we talked about what happened before the crash, and there's new surveillance video, by the way, of the derailment that was released, and then the people, because now it's 8 people that they pulled from the crash that died, and that's starting to circulate a little bit more as to, you know, who were the victims. I think in these things, it becomes so horrific, you talk about what happened, that these were people. These were people that were caught, unfortunately, in an everyday situation where you have over 11 million riders that took Amtrak in that area last year, and it was fine. And now you have, going through that one curve that was supposed to be 50 miles an hour, 106 miles an hour, and you got to try to figure out what was it that caused that acceleration. There were 238 people on board when that happened. 238. Ugh, and you know, it's life. It's what, you know, timing and the whole thing. There was one guy who was visiting from Italy, Giuseppe Parias, and he just happens, you know, to be there on the train at that time. He was a wine and oil merchant, and he came from a tiny small town on the island of Sardinia. And he was taking the train after missing a flight on Tuesday and had called, thank goodness for this, I suppose, he called his father a few minutes before he jumped on the Amtrak train and told him what he was doing and how he was happy with what he was doing. And he's a young, young guy. So pretty awful, I would say. Except for that, isn't it great that he at least reached out before that happened just coincidentally? And the U.S. Naval Academy midshipman, I've seen a couple of things about him. His name was Justin Zemser, just 20 years old from Queens. He was a sophomore at the Annapolis Academy, and the Academy notified his family of his death, and they said, you know, his parents are just in shock and had no idea. And of course, people are saying what a great guy he was and how he was so dedicated to what he was doing and all that kind of all that kind of stuff. And then there was a reporter, an Associated Press worker anyway, Jim Gaines his name was, and he was somebody that at the AP they say that he was a father of a couple of kids, and he was going to meetings in Washington, and he was going back, returning to his house in northern New Jersey. So, you know, it's about the faces, too. We forget about that. And still no answer from the engineer as to what happened, the unthinkable. Why did he accelerate? On a lighter note, I'm going to leave you with this. Why is it that we can't leave the chicken alone, right? Wouldn't it be great if chickens could cross the road and not be questioned about their motives?
Receiver. With your heart racing and sweat dripping from your forehead, you finally muster the courage to dial the number to call into your favorite talk radio show. It rings once, twice, and then...
Hello, it's GCN. What's your name and the state you're calling from?
Surprised you got through, you squeak out...
Jason from Minnesota.
Please hold.
As you patiently wait for your turn, you begin to daydream about being a famous talk radio host and what it would be like to have your own show.
Jason from Minnesota, you're up.
Millions of loyal listeners worldwide waiting to call and talk to you.
Caller, are you there?
Cheering crowds surround you, calling out your name.
Jason!
Going once. Twice. Okay, we gotta move on to the next caller.
You blew it.
Huh? Wait, no!
Interact with the host you're listening to right now online at GCNlive.com. Click on the community link. Engage with other listeners. Ask questions. Start debates. Don't agree with the host? Let them know. Be a part of the community at GCNlive.com.